I assume everyone has the Mara Makomas? No one has the Mara Makomas? It's on email. It's on email? Okay, how does that help someone who doesn't have a computer? It's hard to say a shiur when people don't have the text. Okay, we'll do our best. Torah Shalom Peh. So, okay, we'll start from the beginning. There's a mitzvah pruvu, mitzvah aleph of the 613 mitzvahs. Number one is pruvu, and the Mishnah tells us the Masechta Yevamos. Rabbi, no one has a text.
It's on everyone's computer.
Not everyone has a computer. Oh, okay. Never. We can manage in the computer age. Somehow manage. So the Mishnah says the following lashon. Forgive me if we don't have the text in front of you. Samach Aleph Medbeis in Masechta Yevamos. Lo yivatel adam epiri v'rivya elam kein yesh lo bonin. Beishamit two boys, beisil a boy and a girl. That means that when a person has a boy and a girl, there's still a potential for additional puruvu. The words mean that way, right? Liyavatel adam epiri v'rivya. If you have a boy and a girl, you can be mevatel from. What do you mean mevatel from? You already did it. The answer is a boy and a girl is a minimum. It's a minimum. That's what you see from this Mishnah. And one can fulfill a greater degree of puruvu by having additional children. We have to discuss fundamentally is the nature of the mitzvah of puruvu. Again, I apologize, I don't have the source in front of you. I'll read it to you from the Rambam. Rambam says in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Tetzvav Halacha Aleph. It's also quoted in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra Siman Aleph Sivav. Quote: Ha'isha shehirsha says bala achar nisuin sheyimona onasa. We just read last week, right? She'erek susav onasa lo yigra. Right in the midst of ona, at particular times, the wife says, "I'm Michael. I raise the mut." Okay. Pemet v'mamurim pshahayu lo bonin. Check for kiyem mitzvahs piri v'rivya. Avlam lo kiyem chayev livo b'chol ona ad sheyiyu lo bonim mnei shei mitzvahs aseh shel Torah shenemar pru rivu. So let's get shayla. What is the mitzvah of pru rivu? Fundamental question. So there are two ways to learn, right? Chakira. Is the pshat that the mitzvah that is incumbent upon every male is to fulfill mitzvah's owner as the Rambam prescribes? That's the maisa mitzvah. That's what a person gets schar if he fulfills, and he gets onus if he doesn't fulfill. Well, no. The mitzvah is when you have children. That's the mitzvah to have children. Don't have children, you know, get an A for effort, but no mitzvah. The Pasha Pshat in Rambam, as Rambam puts it, Chayav Livo B'chol Ona. The mitzvah is fulfilling the mitzvah of Ona. That is the Maisa Mitzvah. You get schar for it, onish for not doing it. If a person is privileged and blessed by Hashem to have a boy and a girl, this relieves him of a responsibility to go further. He's not obligated. Of course he should. There's more proof of every child that's born. But the basic minimum requirement has been met. But it's been met, doesn't matter how it's met. You have two children, the requirement has been met. Do you have mitzvah points for doing it? Not necessarily. We learn in Masechta Yevamos, a person is not Jewish, his wife's not Jewish, they have a boy and a girl, and he converts. Machlokas Rav Yochanan v'Shlach Shvi Paskin. That's it. He's fulfilled Pru Ravu. What? He fulfilled the mitzvah, Minchas Chinuch Es Hakasha. He fulfilled the mitzvah, B'Shas Ptur. We learned that if a person ate matzah when he was kfu shade. He wasn't of sane mind. Not yotze. See here too. He fulfilled the mitzvah and he wasn't chayev. He was a non-Jew. The answer is, it's a different kind of a mitzvah. The mitzvah is the ma'isa bia b'chol ona, and is a relief clause that if you have a boy and a girl, you're relieved. Doesn't matter if you had that boy and that girl when you were a mitzvah or ain't a mitzvah. Just a reality. Chas v'chalila, chalila v'chas. The man has a boy and a girl and they die, or one of them dies. Once more, he's required by halacha to continue to be bal b'chalona until he has another child. Well, what happened? That's it. Doesn't have a boy and a girl. He has to keep going. He has to keep going. This is against the Minchas Chinuch straight down. Minchas Chinuch says that the bia is only a hechsher mitzvah. And on that basis, he answers his question. A person has a mamzer, is yotze puravu. It's a mitzvah bo b'aveiro. And what he answers? The bia is a hechsher mitzvah. A person carried matzah in the street and ate it on Pesach. It's yotze, it's just a hechsher. That's the Minchas Chinuch's approach. According to what we said, no. The guy is a mamzer. He will not get mitzvah points because the mitzvah above avera. But at the end of the day, he has a boy and a girl. No different than when he was a goy, he had a boy and a girl. That just relieves him of future responsibility. It's a different definition completely. Tosfos in Masechta Bava Basra, if you give him an aleph, that the reason why is a problem of Esther Dochalosa say, because the avera is b'shas hara. And the assay is b'shas gemar bia. Fekta min chasin gemar bia. It's 9 months later when the baby is born. But we said it's miyushev. No, the mitzvah is when you did your ma'isa bia, a bia which can lead to a child. That's called the gemar bia. That can lead to a child. Hara is too early. Bosai, what happens? The classical case that we have it today in different situations, but in the it's called the time and the Shulchan Aruch Nizra Bambati. Don't think it exists in our world, but there's a discussion in the Poskim about it based on earlier sources. There's a bath. In the bath water is floating somebody's zera, and the woman takes a bath and she becomes pregnant. Don't expect it to happen even in the Guinness Book of World Records. But if you look in this, in this far they talk about it. It's relevant, of course, to artificial insemination, which is the equivalent to some extent. So Beis Shmuel writes, the very beginning of Evan Ezra, Siman Aleph, Nizr Me'abati from a particular man, Kiyim, the father of Mekayim Puravu. He's his father, the Chol Davar. Says the Minchas Chinuch, you see from here, that the mitzvah is having children. There was no Ma'aseh Bia over here. If you ask me, this guy who's there was flowing in an ambati, however it happened, will not get any schar for it. Maybe get onus for it. We're not going to that right now. But not schar. He's relieved. Not fulfilled. He's relieved from Puravu because there's a biological son and a daughter running around the world that come from him. Two different things completely, Rabbi Osai. Now the question is going to be, if a person is motzi zera for the purpose of artificial insemination, his wife, she can't become pregnant through normal relations. Seems to me, not just bambati by some quirk, he did it on purpose, premeditatedly, that would be his ma'isa mitzvah. He's going to get schar mitzvah for it, an act which for everyone else in the world is an avera, hotzah zera, him it's a mitzvah. Is he motzi the zera in order to have a child? Rabosai, there's a new thing now, not just what they used to call AIH, artificial insemination of the husband, which is around for a long, long time. There's a new thing called IVF. Who knows what that means? It's everyone knows the Rosh HaTevis these days, in vitro fertilization. So it's a new thing that happens sometimes. The woman has the egg problems. So what do you do? It's IVF. So if it's the wife's eggs, same thing. If it's a donor egg, there are two kinds of donor eggs. There's Jewish donor eggs and not Jewish donor eggs. And there are those who prefer not Jewish because of the problems of yichus. If it's a Jewish donor egg, then the child's going to be Jewish. This is again, pruvu. But if, Rabosai, the donor egg is from a non-Jewish donor, so what does that mean? It's like the man lives with a non-Jewish woman. Not an aver chas to show, not in the chalil of a chas, didn't do an aver. But the child of a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman has no halachic connection to the father. No halachic connection to the father. And therefore there's no puruvu. Well, fakert, a non-Jewish man is so-called married to a Jewish woman and has a child. So Michas Chinuch says he's not relieved of his puruvu obligation, because there's no connection between a Jewish father and a non-Jewish child, or a Jewish father or a non-Jewish father and a Jewish child. In the case of the Gemara, it's a non-Jewish father, a non-Jewish child, that they are connected, the Gemara in Kiddushin and elsewhere, Yevamis, and therefore, when he converts, he already had two children. But in these cases, not. So that's the case for Bosai. In the very common case of a IVF non-Jewish egg donor, he went into a problem. There's no puruvu. And if there's no puruvu, at first glance, the entire enterprise may be prohibited. Motzi zera levatala. If zera is intended to produce a Jewish child, then it's a mitzvah. If it produces a non-Jewish child, at first glance, it would be an aveira. Again, I'm assuming for the moment, as Rabbi Yosha was recently been quoted as saying, that this child is not Jewish. And the determinant of the Jewishness of the child is the donor, not the woman who brings the child to term. Okay, everyone with me so far? That's our tentative conclusion. We're not finished yet. Rabosai, you ever hear of Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin? All the lumdus of sugis, everyone talks about it. Okay? Mar says, Lisa Shifre in a Yochel. So you have to free him. Frektosis. And if he could be no se Shifre, let's say, it would be okay. Why? He was not fulfilling Puruvu. But you know what? Says Tosis, if he'd be allowed to marry a Shifre, we would not compel his Odon to emancipate him. Why? Because even though there's no fulfillment of Puruvu in that case, because the mother would be a Shifcha, there's the fulfillment of Sheves. Sheves. What does Sheves mean? Lo tohu b'ra'a l'sheves yitzara. Pasuk in Yishayo, Makos Masechta Yevamos, in the sixth parak. And as a matter of fact, the Mishnah says, that same Mishnah about Ben Chatzi, Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, Falo nivra ha'olam ha'lepir of Yirmish ha'nema lo tohu b'ra l'sheves yitzara. Amazing. This being the case of Bosai, the following shayla. A man wants to have Jewish children. Desperate. But his wife doesn't have any eggs. And he either can't find a Jewish donor, he doesn't want a Jewish donor, the rabbi said he can't do it because he's afraid of Achnos Yachoso. He fulfills sheves with the non-Jewish egg donor. And Sheves Rabosai is a mitzvah rabbah. Based on the Gemara Megillah of Zion, you would sell a Sefer Torah in order to fulfill Sheves. And Mela, there's no Easter of Hotzah Zer Levatola. And that's a raya from Eved Ivri. We read it again last week. Rabbah Moshe Shifcha Kanainis. How can that be? The Yisra Shifchot is a discussion. Rambam says it's a Rabbanon. Someone says it's a Kenyan Isser. Tosfos. What about the Tzazera? The answer is no. Shevus is fulfilled, even though Puravu is not fulfilled. Rambam says so far so good. We move on to the second part of the Shia. A couple gets married. 10 years pass, they have no children. As the mission, Yivam HaSam HaDalad, Eino Rashoy Livatam. So what do you do? What are you supposed to do? I'm asking, what are you supposed to do? Yeah?
Doesn't Rashi there say, maybe it's only Noah in Eretz Yisrael?
There is one opinion that's Noah in Eretz Yisrael because of the 10 years of learning from Avram Avinu, only after he got to Eretz Yisrael. That's true. Most posts disagree. That was, Avram Avinu was unique because Hashem told him you have kids only in Eretz Yisrael. But that is true. Unless they live in Eretz Yisrael, what are you supposed to do?
Get a second wife.
Atazai. We don't think in those terms for the last 1,000 years. But before I'm in a Geshem, take a second wife. I want them to have the following Kiddush. Rabbi Nageshim said you can't take a second wife, so what are you forced to do? If you follow the Mishnah, Nebuch, divorce your first wife, your Ashes Nurim, take a second wife. Doesn't ring, right? If you look in Sefer Meshechachma, he asked the Kashin Parshas Noach, why did Hashem make males obligated in Puravu and not females? Time of the Krah. Why? Gives two reasons. The first, childbearing is dangerous. People have been known to die in childbirth, and the time of the Torah was very common. Rochel Imenu. Right? That's the irony. Hovel Ibonim v'mayin meis anochi. Vayti ki teis nafshok ki meisah, she taka died from childbirth. Anyway, so you can't expect a person to put himself in danger. So a man is not in danger, no problem. Either woman takes two to have a child. The woman wants children. She's willing. She undertakes the risks of child. She knows there are risks, but she's desperate for children. That's innate in the woman's hardwiring. That's back to Rachel Imenu. So Hashem created the world in that fashion. That the men are chayev because they're not in danger. Women are not chayev, but they want. Teretz number one. Teretz number two of the Meshech Chachma. Rabosai, the Torah does not want people to get hurt with a divorce when it's avoidable. There's a parasha of divorce in the Torah, and there are marriages that are no good, and they should break up in divorce, and they should give the get right away. I'm not going into that right now. But if a good marriage, if they break up in divorce, it irks us, right? Kodesh Baruch didn't want it either. Kevayochel, that's a Meir Simcha writes. Therefore, he made men obligated in Puravu, no need for divorce, as you said so cogently. Take a second wife. I mean, that rubs us the wrong way too, but that before Ben Gershon, that was commonplace. Ooh. But if a woman would be chayiv in Puravu, what are you going to do? Take a second husband? Chas v'shalom, we call that losinuf. That was the parsha before last. So there'd be no choice but for her to quote unquote divorce her husband, to demand a divorce. In point of fact, she can demand a divorce because she doesn't want to be lonely and that stuff. But it's not because of the mitzvah Torah. The mitzvah Torah is not incumbent upon the woman, because had it been, it would have compelled her to demand a divorce to fulfill the mitzvah Puravu. Remarkable concept. Omer Ani, after Ben Gershom, that's why we don't follow that mission anymore. After Ben Gershom, the man is the same as the woman. I'm talking Mishnah Tam of the Quran. This is Meta Halach. We usually don't dash in Tam of the Quran, etc. But in this case, there are many other Heterim, etc. So I wanted to throw that into the mix. Adkan, as a side comment. Rabosai. The same way as according to Rav Meir Simcha, the Torah patted a woman from Puravu, so she shouldn't have to divorce her husband. No. So to today, if there have been a Geshem, kibayachol, that reasoning should lead to the conclusion, the man is also part of the nakesh, enough to divorce his wife. Can't take a second wife today. Follow me? Okay. Rabosai, again, it says, Nasa Isha Vishar as a shanim layolda ainar vashar libato. Says the Shiltis, Yudches, you force him to divorce her. Why? Lo tol bara l'sheves yitzara. That puzzle keeps coming up. Not the Pruru. Says in Itziv, in his commentary on the Shiltis Yudches. You see from that this Shiltis, that the fundamental issue for which you would force a man to divorce his wife is not Pruru per se, but Sheves. If he was successful in having one child from this woman, he's no longer compelled to divorce him. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Nasa Isha Eshoah Eshoahim V'lo Yolda. Didn't say Lo Yolda Benu Bas. Lo Yolda Klal. Once Yolda, no longer is he compelled to take a second wife or give again. He goes further. He quotes his own. This is Yud Ches. He quotes Kuf Samachay, the very end. The Iker of Pru Revu is Sheves. Rab Nosson holds one child, not like Beisham, not like Beis Hillel. And even according to the Chachamim, Beisham and Beis Hillel, they only argue with him what the Tziv calls the Mitzvah Bialm. Yes, the proper way of fulfillment to relieve you of any further responsibilities, as I said earlier, is a boy and a girl. But for the Yevet, you have one child, you were Yotze. And the divorce is a B'di'evet. Oh. Now, Bosai, we've said this, we go to part three of the shiur, which is more than two children, more than a boy and a girl, what exact status does it have?
Wait, why don't we accept that halacha?
Which halacha?
I mean,
we do accept the halacha.
Why?
And the Tziv knew about the Shulchan Aruch, and he knew about Beis Hillel, and he said even Beis Hillel said you have to have a boy and a girl. That is true. He's not denying it, but he said the fundamental mitzvah is having one child. That's why you will only compel a divorce if, or a second wife, if he has failed to have even one child. If he has even one child, he has fulfilled Sheves, and Sheves and Pru Revu are exceedingly similar, even according to Beis Hillel. Well, Beis Hillel says, no, Yalfmi b'Rosh Hashalolam, a boy and a girl, Adam and Chava, you have to have a boy and a girl if it's all possible. But it's not the base mitzvah. It's the Chatchila version thereof. Adkan. We'll see soon. Patience. Still have another hour to go. We'll see soon. Patience. Well, we're talking about less than a boy and a girl. What about more than a boy and a girl? So the mission of Bezim and Bezim Yevamis is the Gemara says in Yevamis, Mas Nisan the Lo Karabi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is the famous din. Nasa Isa, Isha Bitsiruso, Bibachruso, Bialduso, Isha Bizignuso. Hilubana Bialduso, Hilubana Bizignuso. Shanema, who knows the Pasuk? Anyone know? Babok is Ra Zarecha, Pasuk and Koeles. Don't quit after a boy and a girl in your youth. Try to have more children even if you're old. Ramban says in Milchamis, it's not a takana, it's not a real din. Ella, it's a verbatim quote, Ke'ein Yishuv Derech Eretz. It's a mitzvah lechatchila. You're not going to force about it. You have a boy and a girl, you have satisfied the requirement. Whatever else is what's called Yishuv Derech. It's a good idea. Not an absolute rabbinical requirement. Oh. So now, Rabosai, the Beis Shmuel, the first Beis Shmuel in Ebenezer, Simon Aleph Os Aleph, it's the Kash and the Rambam. The Rambam says that until a person has a boy and a girl, he's required to be with his wife, B'chol Ona. Otherwise, it's Mevatla Pru Revu. But what happens afterwards? After he has a boy and a girl? Afterwards. The answer is, Says the Rambam. I'd like to read this to you from the inside. I'm sorry that you don't have it in front of you. Opening Beis Shmuel. Quotes the Rambam. Chayev livel becholona shiel abonim. It's quoted in Siman Ayin Vav. Mashma. Acha shiel abonim. Mahani reshus shalom. Afilim lo imyochol od holid. Eini odeh minole lo Rambam chiluk zeh. The Mahani mechila shalom acha kimpi revu. Lo Mahani kodesh kimpi revu. To af afilu im kimpi revu. Mikom agom. Chayev lekayim le'erev al tanach yadecha. Even it's only the Rabbanon, minole de mahani mechila shalom. Meridik. That's the kasha. The first Beis Shmuel in Eben Ezer is this kasha. Where the Rambam know that before they have a boy and a girl, and she's meichel erona, it's not accepted. He has to do it anyway because, I mean, he can't chalila go against her will. But if she's meichel, that she says, I don't, it doesn't matter to me, yes or no. He has to do the mitzvah of being with her on the chance he can have a child. Once he had a boy and a girl, she says, it doesn't matter to me. He's not required anymore. Where do you get it from, Esther Bishmul? True Puruvu is the rice and Ever is the Rabbanon. So what? It seems that the Rambam holds. He holds that according to the Rambam, it's a chiyuv of the Rabbanon. But not, it's not a what's called Yishuv Derech Eretz, like the as the Ramban said. Then we have no question. This is the lashon of the Rambam. Af al pi shekiyim odav mitzvahs peri v'rivya, hareyu mitzuvah midivrei sofrim, shlo yivotal milifros v'lirvos, koz man sheyesh bo koach. Now if you stop there, it goes back to the beginning of the shiur. Get an impression from the Rambam. Not only is there a fulfillment of Pru Revu after a boy and a girl, there's even an obligation. I read it again. Mitzuvah midivrei sofrim, midoraisi fulfilled Pru Revu, shalo yivot lemilifot v'livros. Then he adds something. What he adds is momentous. Shekol ha-mosif nefesh achas b'Yisrael, Kilu bona olam. This sounds very poetic. Not as rigorous as you would have imagined had he stopped earlier. So as a matter of fact, the Pischei Tshuva, the opening Pischei Tshuva in Eben Ezer, discusses this question. He quotes the Brikkei Yosef. Nichol el chalek dimkiyim peruvu eno chayev livol b'cholona limishuv le'erev al tanach le'itim rechokos rak shlo yaniach legamrei. That's what the Rambam says. Without before, a boy and a girl is chayev b'cholona, but after a boy and a girl no longer chayev b'cholona she's meichel aval eno chinami dimishuv le'erev al tanach mechuyev. Don't have the same frequency, but the chiyuv still exists. So what the Pischei Tshuva says. I thought differently. According to the Rambam, it's not a chiyuv gomer. Not a chiyuv gomer at all. He never quoted the verse of Le'erev al tanach yadecha. If you look in the Frank Rambam, the Ramach has this kasha. And the source on the side, they quote a Gemara in Yevamos. Kol misha eina osik b'piri v'rivya kilu shofech domin. Again, this is a kilu. This is again poetry. It's based on the Mishnah Sanhedrin, the famous Mishnah Sanhedrin of Zion. Hamatzil nefesh achas miyisrael kilu kiyem ola moli. Rambam says, parallel. Kol amosif nefesh achas miyisrael kilu bona ola. Instead of being matzil someone who's going to otherwise die in bed, and otherwise, you are going to bring some another child into the world. It's kiyum olam olay. It's a kiyum of mitzvah d'oraisa puruvu. It's a mitzvah gedolah ma'od, but it's not a chiyuv. This being the case, if we're right, against the Pesachei Tshuva. Even if someone at a certain stage in life says, I'm hanging up the spikes. That's it. No more. Enough children. No more. According to the Pesachei Tshuva, is in violation of the Erev HaTanach HaDak, which he considers to be a Chiyuv Gomer. But we're saying now, no. He is ceasing and desisting from an important Kiyum HaMitzvah, granted, but he's not in violation of any absolute obligation. Not Midoraisa, not Midorabonah. It's along the lines of the Ramban. Yishuv Derech Eretz, Ki Hitzel Olam, whatever you want to call it. But it's not an absolute Chiyuv. Okay. That being said, it's not an absolute Chiyuv. It may have significant ramifications. The Ramah in Siman Aleph Sifches writes as follows. Cheinim yesh lo bonim harbe. The man has many children, and Nebuch lost his wife. Nebuch. So he has to remarry, right? Can't be by yourself. Lo toves and lo levada. But there are two possibilities of marriage. One is an older woman who can no longer have children, and one is a younger woman who can still have more children. So what would you say? What would you say? Right. But if it's a real chiv, you have no choice with the younger woman. If not, still better younger woman, right? Still have more children in the world. Says the Helig Ramah. Umisyare shim yisa isha basbonim. Yavo k'totos l'merivas ben abonim b'veinishto. He fights. Right? Because there is children from the first marriage, children from the second marriage. Oh. Mutter lisa isha she'ena basbonim. Mefuah Shirama, from a Chuma Sadesha, from a Gemara Yavam Mustaf Mem Dalet, that Chalitza B'Mokam Yibum is not mitzvah. But still, we push him from Yibum to Chalitza, Mishum Ktata. The ages are incompatible. Look at the Sugi, you'll see yourself. So apparently he holds Rabbi Bosai here too. The Erev Al Tanach Hedech is not a Chi of Gomer, it's a mitzvah to Chatchila. Let's push it aside, Mishum Ktata. Same as Yibum, which is a mitzvah lechatchila for sure, is pushed aside mishum k'tata. So here's my zog. The Ramah is talking about a man who's presently unattached. He has a bunch of kids from his first marriage, but the first wife died. And has to decide if he wants to remarry an older woman, a younger woman. We'll marry the older woman to prevent k'tata. I want to tell you a story. You remember the story? You remember what I was saying? The story is told, I can't vouch for this, its veracity, that Hagoyin Rav Hillel Zaks Shlita, of Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, was a Talmud in the Lakewood here, Beis Medrash Gaon, Lakewood, many years ago. And apparently he wasn't in Minyan all the time. So the Mashkiach, Rav Vachtfoyl, came over and says, how can it be? An Eingel of the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim writes about Tfilah B'tzibus being so important. And I see you're not in Yeshiva for Shachwes. Whoa, how do you explain this? So he said to the Mashkiach like this, you know, there's a woman in the community, and she's a very hard time getting the kids out, house full of kids, can't get the kids out to school on time. So I help her out, because I help her out, so the male I can't come to Shachwes. So the Mashkiach, oh, where's this woman? Well, maybe I can help her out too. Looks at him and says, it's my wife. Ooh. That's the story. Whether it happened or not, you'll ask him if you see him, you'll ask him if it's a true story or not. So I have the following Shiloh. Not the case we just described. A man had a bunch of kids, lost his wife, is trying to remarry. No. He doesn't want katatas. Who's the lady? My wife. My wife's going to fight with me. She doesn't want any more children. That's not a fight? Oh, is that a fight? It seems to me, therefore, that if the woman does not want to have more children, according to this Ramah, then I'm going to fight with her. You follow what you said? It's extrapolation based on what the Ramah said in his unique case, where the man Nebuch lost a wife, has to remarry. So in order to avoid fights which will emerge later on, he can marry an older woman. See here too. In order to avoid a fight right now, he's allowed to say, okay, we have children, we fulfilled Puravu, I would like to have more children, you don't want to have more children. So if they come to me, I'll say, I have a Ramah, Simon Aleph, Sif Ches.
Then Ramah
Rabbah would be saying that he doesn't have to have children, but that's only if he wants, if he agrees to his wife. I mean, if he wants to continue having children,
and she says no, he either gives in to her or the unthinkable, which I would never recommend in such a case. Yes.
So in that case, would there be a heter? You give a heter for either birth control or she's a bus.
Well, they'd have to do something, unless suddenly something happened in one of their biologies. They'll keep having children.
The Rambam still holds in that place they have to have a higher brown of
them. I'm saying no. Even if, I think according to the Rambam, you would be allowed to practice birth control in that kind of a case, because the alternative is to fight with your wife. And not to fight with your wife for the mitzvah of Erevat Tanach Yedecha. Oh, this is in Simen Aleph Sif Ches. I'll read it to you verbatim. Yesh lebonim harbe v'yimisyoresh v'yisa isha bazbonim v'yivok tatos v'rivas ben abonim v'yinishto mutal isa isha shena bazbonim. But not to be single. You can't be single. Being single is no good. I'm not going to get to that right now. We talk about the responsibility of a woman to bear children for her husband. We'll take it a step further. In Simen Hay, Rabbi Osai, in Simen Hay, it's an amazing Pisrei Tshuva, Sivkotten Yudal, with Chassam Sofer. The man fulfilled what he calls his Sheves Koldu. He's had a child. The woman had enough. She wants to drink the proverbial Kos Shel Ikrin. If you can discover, you become a trillionaire, at least a billionaire. A pill, one pill, and that's it for life. Culturally, we don't have it nowadays. The ancient herbs that had some kind of medicine, you drink a cup, a potion, whoop, that's it. It's a chasam sofer. It's mutter. Mutter. Why? Eino mechuyevas etzar asma meshibuda shemeshubedes labala. He says, Rabbosai, that is it Tsar Godol, Tsar Koton, the husband doesn't want to divorce her, doesn't want to give her a shus, she wins, so he can stay married to his wife, even though it's because of her insistence, there's going to be no fulfillment of the era of Al Tanach Yedecha. Now Rabbi Moshe is a tshuva. I'll read you Rabbi Moshe's tshuva. Again, I'm sorry you don't have this, if you get this pack afterwards, you'll get, that's, I think almost everything is in here. Read Rabbi Moshe's tshuva. Evan or Ezer, Chela Gimel Simen Chav Dalet. The words are important. V'im Kasha Ha'ibu Lefnei Ha'isha Mitzat Choli. It's different. Yes.
Remember you were saying before that it's not an absolute gift having children after you have a minimum amount.
According to this opinion.
Then the posting they're discussing this. They're discussing if she's allowed to or not. So why would they have that discussion if it's not a gift anyway? Have more children.
No, it is a mitzvah, but even though it's a mitzvah, left to his own device, if he can have a child by himself, we tell him to do it, since it takes two. And the woman says no, so.
He's saying not that he shouldn't go and marry someone.
They're not recommending that. Okay, let's go on. Im kosha ibu misneish mitzat choli. Va'af im rak mitzat chul shabi alma. Weakness. Shuyosa mistam noshim. Weaker than average. Now, Rabbi said, to my knowledge, it's hard to know an average weakness during pregnancy and beyond. We'll count from 1 to 10. What's the average weakness? More weak, less weak? You know, she throws up more, throws up less, has more problems with her varicose veins or less. I mean, these are just, I'm just throwing a few problems out that exist when women become pregnant. So I guess if she's higher than average in the problem quotient, even though she's not really sick, she's weaker. Yesh lahatim mitzadzeh af palokiyim adayin pruruvu. She can wait a while, space the kids. For Kolshkein, Shakiyim Pru Revu, Shesh Lahat Lechakos Gamat Shalosh Shonim, Ach Tischazik. And Moshe goes ahead for 3 years, if they fulfill Pru Revu. Isha Chola, she's sickly. Av Shalot Tistaken Mizeh Elatichla Biyosa, she's going to get a little sicker than the average woman who's pregnant. Mistaber, Rav Moshe writes, to bekiyim pruvu, tucha levatel beofen ze af ligamrei. Tells the husband, The game is up. That's it. We are blessed with two children, or fill in the blank. I'm more weak than average upon pregnancy. That's it. Says Rav Moshe, the mishul mitzvahs sheves ein or isha mishul bedes lebala lihischalos mizayosim miderech stam noshim. In other words, if she's just a regular average woman and she got married to the man, and they know they got married at a Torah wedding with an Orthodox rabbi, they want to fulfill the mitzvahs kedasa kedin, so peruvu is a mitzvah, and so is le'abatanach yedeva. So they go in with that mahalach. They have to, she's required, if possible, to satisfy the mitzvah as much as the man would request, given the specifics which we'll discuss in a minute. But she's sicker than average, she's not mechuyif. Seems to me, Rabbi Osai, that lav dafka, that the woman is either literally ill or weaker than most, but if there are additional circumstances which would render her request reasonable, then here too it should be honored. For example, there's a sick child. Normally, bring up children, one child, two, three, four, five. Okay, it's hard. No one's saying it's not hard, but you know, what if one, what they call today a special needs child, that the mother can go completely, you know, out of it just from taking care of this one child? So difficult. In my opinion, this also counts as a reasonable point on the wife's side to postpone or even stop having children. It's against Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is another tshuva. Chelek dalet
even ezer. Rav
Moshe is saying
it looks
Simon Ayin Gimel Os Aleph, and he says there they have a child who's sick, get a therapist, but the mother should still keep having children. I don't know, to me it's a very difficult thing to say. I'm just giving you a maramokum. If you ask me, even if there's only one child but that child requires a special tipul, they will say special needs, seems to me that the woman has a right to wait even in that kind of a circumstance. I'll go further than that. In the Sefer Nishmas Avram, Dr. Abraham Shlita quotes the Chazon Ish, and I quote again verbatim. Achrei leido mutu lishtamesh b'chol emtzoy ha'miniyo, afilu kipa, even a diaphragm. Now a diaphragm is a questionable birth control method. Kidei laharchik es haknosa lihiroyon l'shisha chadoshin v'ad shonah. Standard, Rabosai, standard. When there's a baby, it's permissible to use a diaphragm for 6 months to a year. Afilu im ein le'isha shum sibuchim refuiyim yuchadim. No special medical complications. Ki tchifus haledos, gam nechshevas asavik sakana. This is Chazon Ish. Having one after the other could be a suffix sakana. As a matter of fact, I'm involved with some neonatologists, and they say, Mamash like the Chazon Ish, it's advisable a woman should wait for a year before becoming pregnant again. So here I become a Chazon Ishnik. Someone comes to me and they ask me, well, I get the Chazon Ish's answer. No complications, nothing, huh? Wait a year. The doctor told me. The Chazon Ish said it. I don't need more than that. Shlomo Zalman, he has the kash against Chazon Ish. It's quoted in Nishmas Avram. Quote, forwards. Gam achrei leida rishona? Question mark. Even after the first child? What's the answer? The Netziv says the first child has already fulfilled the core mitzvah. That's it. Now, in the olden days, what happened? We know what happened in the olden days. Women nursed their babies for 24 months. In the olden days, one second, they wouldn't become pregnant while they were nursing because they're nursed exclusively. It's true even to this day if it's exclusive, the pshuto. And therefore, there are some who say you can wait really 2 years, not just 1 year. Hi. 2 years, because they always waited 2 years in those days through nursing. Yeah, two ma'amakarmis. Rav Moshe, Evan Ezer, Chelek, Aleph, Simon, Samach, Dalet, who said, you're saying that in Litta, they gave a heter to use a diaphragm for 2 years, Shekev Echazov. Shut b'nei bonim, that's Rav Henkin's grandson, who's an Eretz Yisrael. Chelik al simulam says exactly that. Rav Moshe was shekav echaz. He said it's true. I wasn't lit. I don't know, but I think he quoted from his grandfather. Was so called. In other words, even 2 years. We was, how should we say, like a slight joke? We, like the Chazanish doubled the share, right? So we doubled his share too. He said 1 year, we're saying 2 years, based on the Meneka story. Yes, you had a question, Bob. Hey, I'm sorry.
Yeah, without the Nitzir, couldn't you say with the Chazanish that
it's not, so we say sakana. We have to take things. If the Chazdish held with such a big sakana, he would put a cruise in the Bnei Brak. He'd now have become pregnant for a year after childbirth. No one's saying that. It's just a remote chashash if she doesn't want. So that's it. Look, every Shabbat is a sakana. Every single one. So you can't have to know if this. Obviously, you have to modify. Good. After 2 years, and 1 year. Stam, 2 years if she asks for it. She's mishubedes to a husband, like a healthy woman. As the Pischa Tshuva said, there's no tsar gadol. Firos eine hamorim. What I think is that how far this goes, Rabbi Osai, depends on the implicit shibud that she undertook under the chuppah. It's a new kind of a marriage formulation? No. When couples get married, there are certain implicit understandings. Sometimes even explicit. And people tell me they're crazy that they're going on a date, first date, so it's getting serious, the third date. So how many kids do you want to have? Shugoyim. Six, seven, break it up. I can't marry this guy. He only wants six kids, I want seven. That's insanity, if you ask me. But putting that insanity aside, there are certain different, how should I say it, klolim within different groups of Klal Yisrael. Bechsidim, you don't have to say anything. Bechsidim, you know, a woman gets married, the expectation is straight through. Straight through, children, child, until the fertility comes to an end. Am I wrong? I think that's the expectation. I mean, you know, if you go to Williamsburg, and then they're going into double digits. And when the Pew report came out, they said the average, I think, is only seven. Something like that. That's because some don't have any children, and some hardly have any children. But those who are able to have children, I think the average is way above seven. For those who are capable, the average might even hit double digits. For those who are just going straight through. Maybe I'm wrong, but obviously it's above seven. Seven is a broader average than that part of the world. And that seven number, that's not just Hasidim. That includes, I think, what everyone is called, quote unquote, Haredi. In the Yeshiva Shevelt, it's not that Hasidim. There are fewer children than in the Hasida Shevelt, for whatever reason. So I'm not going into the sales theology, but it's a reality. And in the, I don't know what word to use, we'll say the non Hasidish or Yeshivish world, but those who are Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Shabbos is our criterion for basic fulfillment of mitzvah, Shabbos and Kashrus, the average is much less. Much less. What did they say in the Pew report? Four, I think, right? Who read the report? Nobody? I mean, headlines all over the world. What, something like that? Around four. Four is a big number, Baruch Hashem. Why is four a big number? Because the average in America and in Jewish America, it's not even ZPG. It's not even, we can't even replenish. It's less than zero population growth. Rahman al-Islam. If you read about, you know, the whole article about if you have 100 Jewish people, four generations later, how many will be in? It's fascinating. Unfortunately, in the non-Orthodox world, they come out disappearing. In four generations. Each world has its own. It seems to me there's an implicit undertaking at the time of the chuppah by the woman to, you know, health permitting. I'm talking about she's perfectly healthy. To have children with Hashem's help, whatever in that society is done. So if let's say, for example, that, I don't know, one of my Talmidim gets married here in the yeshiva. And everything's fine and dandy. They get married, very nice. And all of a sudden, he decides maybe perhaps he has influence by people now and around. He decides to become a chassid, put on a shtreimel, move to Williamsburg, and become a full chassid. And there they're having, you know, baby. And his wife said, I didn't sign up for this. So I think she's right. She's right. What if I cared? They got married in Williamsburg in a snowstorm outside, you know, and how it works over there. And then for some reason she decides we have to move to, well, I mentioned a neighborhood by the name. All right, move to a different neighborhood where they have the four kids. It stops. He'll say to her, wait a minute, but you didn't sign up for this. You signed up for more. It's a little bit tricky over in that kind of a case. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not trying to give Shalom Bais advice over here. But on a simple level, it depends upon what happened at the time of the marriage to know what the nature of her shibud is, again, health permitting. Any questions before I go to the last and most important part, if you will? Okay. Any questions? Please ask them now. Yeah.
Case with the Kogan, that was where, so that was because she was getting sick?
You have to look carefully in the Pisrei Tshuva in Simen Hay. The Pisrei Tshuva goes to Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer talks there about two different cases of a woman taking a kosher. We don't have kosher today. But the equivalent is some kind of contraceptive method. Okay. So I have the lashon in front of me, and I couldn't find in this source sheet that Pisrei Tshuva. I'm not sure if I have it here. If they have Sheves, she can drink kosher liquor even without special tzar. Okay? She's not mechuyev to tzar herself for a shibud tzar godel if you're also any hamorin. You have to look inside the small print. Simon Hayes of Cotton Yud Aleph in Pisrei Tshuva, Pesach Chasam Sofer. Look up in the original source, you see the details. I don't want to say I don't have Chasam Sofer in front of me. Sorry.
It's like computer, it sounds a little bit not like what we were
saying. No, I'm not so sure. In any event, Rabosai, I don't have it in front of me, I'm sorry. Rabosai, any other questions before I go on? Yes.
So what about the Chasam Sofer, the opposite of the Chasam Sofer, that they have one kid, and the woman says no complications, if she's okay, but the husband has his special.
Oh, very good. Very good. Excellent question. When I meet with a Chasam Kala before the wedding, which I try to do when I'm in the Messiah Kedushin, one thing I talk about is this, and I say, could come down the road, a Shaila, either he wants more children and she doesn't, or she wants more children and he doesn't. Either can happen. I say, I'm happy to discuss with you and come back to you. You can save yourself a trip. I'll tell you the answer right now. Both cases. She wins. Hey, this guy, I never met this girl before in my life. He's in my shiur for 5 years. She wins. She carries the children. It's hard for her. So therefore, if he wants more children and she's like, I can't handle it, she's not meshubad. That's how I'm understanding it. Right? And for Karet, if she wants more children, she says, I can't afford it. She wins again. I can't afford it. Give a tuition break in the yeshiva. Tell him to quote me. Give a tuition break. The tuition crisis is a disaster because it's causing fewer children to be born in Klal Yisrael. It's a disaster. It really is. I'm telling you facts. Facts. People are not having children because they can't pay the tuition. It's a scandal. Shivas have to give breaks to large families. That's all. Simple. I had in 4 different schools, 8 different schools. So you got to get together. It's a disaster. It's a terrible thing. See, they don't care about it. They don't care about tuition. You don't hear about tuition crisis. I mean, they suffered plenty. Because they know that she was going to have to take him in anyway. The Rebbe says, take him in. They'll take him in. We have boards of trustees and boards of directors, fiscal responsibility, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. I'm not against responsibility, but you're causing children not to be born in Klal Yisrael. That's a big problem. Yeah? But not everyone has it. Okay, but thank you. Thank you so much. Let me read what I can read over here. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Let's see. Yeah, it's top. For those who have page 15, thank you. It's on the top of the second column of Pisrei Tshuva. Chasam Sofer Simon Chof, it looks like. Isha Metzteres Beirorin Veleda. Could you have Kosikrin? What does he say? Ish shelo yold adai in v'lo kima sheves. She should not have kol sikri, unless to save it from terrible taleda, which is much more than average. She already had sheves. She's no problem. That's a pnuya, single woman. But if she's in a suah, dvisa derav chista, so pekbal yavimto, ubi meyem she yochala bali si shal ishto, o legasha bal kocha, so he wants more children, he wants the erotak and echa, no problem. Either marry another woman, or divorce this woman. Nowadays, erchena ben egeshe maragola, she needs reshus from her husband to take this kol sikri, or she should accept the get. What? He doesn't want a divorcer, and he won't give her a shus? Says the Chasam Sofer. Eina muchayevas, the tzar atzim, ne shibuda mishabes labal. She goes to the doctor, gets a co-secret. Now he says that he has a tough decision to make. Either take a second wife, or he can't do that nowadays, either divorce her, or stay with that man of children. That's his tough luck. As for tzar gadol, if he rose, eina moris. Again, yeah. I don't want to sound too, cavalier. If a woman makes an unreasonable statement, just like kacha for no reason, I'm very sensitive to that. But if she has a reasonable point she wants to make to me, I would generally accept what she said. I want to tell you one more thing, which is very important. Chassidim have kids, I told you, until the fertility runs out, which is usually, anyone who knows the average time when a woman can no longer have children, anyone know what the first digit of her age is? The first one. First, four, some in the fours. Average menopause is 51 in America. But even before the menopause, it's not so easy to have children, although people that are having children now, in the high 40s, with their life, sometimes by mistake, sometimes by purpose, but if they were married before. There are many women who are afraid to have children and once they hit 35 because they're afraid of Down syndrome. A very serious fear. The stats go up, especially what they call grad multi para, having more than six children. Rav Aviner has an interesting piece in one of his svarim, which was originally printed in Bethel, in his hometown. He's the Rav. He saw that it's populated there with Merkazniks. Merkaz a Rav. There was many children of Chassidim. They believe in populating the state of Israel. It's a Chov Kadosh Mamish. Then it's 35. All of a sudden it stops. What's going on? So he did a little homework. They're afraid of Downs. So he wrote, listen, you keep having children. If you do a test, it turns out to be Downs, come to me, we'll figure it out. That means either she'll keep the child or she'll terminate the pregnancy, which we don't normally like. But he felt that the Tzitz Eliezer's Mekel in that situation could die a Lism of Olav, because otherwise there are thousands upon thousands of unborn children. Because even when a woman is over 35, the chance of Downs is still very small. Instead of point something percent, so it's 2%, whatever it may be. But that's enough to scare people away. I'm not saying yes, I'm just giving you a maramok. I also want to talk briefly, before coming to the last point, about various contraceptive methods. There are many. We mentioned before, Chazanish mentioned a kippah. A kippah is some kind of a pessary or a diaphragm that people now, among the recent Rabbonim in something called Asya, whether the present day diaphragm is exactly the same as the old pessary or not, it's better, it's worse. Machlokes Rav Shlomo Zalman said, a whole discussion. Seems to me, and I don't have the time to go through the sources, especially if you don't have them, that the Ritva has the following Chiddush, which I think is very reasonable. There's a famous sugi of Shalosh Nashim Meshamesh B'Mocha sugi in Yevamos, a sugi in Ksubis. Are we supposed to learn Ksubis Paragimel next year, officially? I think so. So some of you learn that, maybe we'll get to that sugi. So there are many who say that for a woman to put Moch Kodem Tashmish, it's a violation, unless she's in Sakon. Some say it's a violation, even if she's in Sakon. And some say it's Hetagomer. Comes with throw with a compromise view. It's mutter whenever she's permitted to avoid having children. So if she's not permitted, then not only is there an error of omission by avoiding children, But if Mishamash Memochus is an error of commission on his part, on her part. But if she's permitted not to have children, then there's no violation whatsoever of Mishamash's Memoch. Nafkamina, a ketana, can a ketana use moch? So the Nebuchadnezzar, the quote before it, yes. What do you mean? Even though she's not having children anyway, she'd be in danger. But so what? It's still an easier vote. The answer is called the Ritva. No, the nature of the Yisr is not the act itself, but the avoidance of children when children should be had. And therefore, if it's appropriate for the abstain from having children, either temporarily or permanently, there would not be a violation. Came there really as the sort of an in between view based upon the Ritva in Mesech Yevamos in the Sugya Daf Yud Beis. IUDs. Another very common thing. There are two kinds. The classic IUD is made from copper or the like, some synthetic materials. That is permissible, in my opinion, even though some say it's a mini abortion every month. No, it's never really viable. There are certain complications involved. Make sure it's done in good hands. Sometimes it causes bleeding. But, you know, it's a viable method. Now they have something called a Mirena IUD, which is a hormonal IUD, which is advertised to stop the bleeding completely. No bleeding? Wow. One of the klolos of Chava Himeinu was Damnida. So the klolos are lightening up now, right? Before Mashiach. They have no periods. So, number one, as an Anida advisory, if a woman is on the Mirena IUD, she has what we call tipachochit. Every month she has a drop of blood. In my opinion, that's Anida Doraisa. It's only a drop. Not for now. But if she has no blood, okay. So those are permissible methods of birth control, in my opinion. A pill is permissible if the doctor permits it. It's been used by the tens of millions in this country. What's not permissible is a condom. That's mamash otzar zera levatol kapshuto. Nor surgery, which is what they call tying the tubes, which means cutting the tubes. Nisir of Sirus. There is a way out of that, something called Ishur. Ishur means they block the tubes instead of tying them, or some tie them and don't cut them. That passion is permissible. Again, only in case where she doesn't expect to have any more children, and she has a reasonable argument in wanting to do so. But just a very brief overview, because there's much to be spoken about. And, yes?
What's the difference between surgery, though, and the
coast
that we talked about?
A kos is not a violation of what the Pasuk says in Parshas Emor. Moch, for kosus, for notuk, the korus, that they cut. The cutting is the violation. But just drinking a cup, even though the bottom line is you can't have any children, is not the same violation. Okay? Good. Everyone so far with me? Now I come to the last part of the Shia, which is a couple gets married and they try to avoid having children at the beginning of the marriage. The Rambam writes, "Lo yisa adam akara uskena va'ailnes uktana sheneru leilet elam kain kia mitzvahs periviriviv." Okay, says the Magad Mishnah, "Why ktana? Afal pi shibo leklal bonim hashtehu mechuyev vilabas bonimi." What's the Tosafot in Yevamos? You're not permitted to marry a girl who's underage, even though in 2 years from now she'll be able to have children. Fakert, she's so young, she'll be able to have so many children. So she'll start off from the earliest fertility. You might think it's a great idea, can have more children this way. Not allowed. Why not? Because the first line of Shulchan Aruch says a person is chayav to marry a woman k'day lifros v'lirbos, to have children. And you are not permitted to postpone your fulfillment of this mitzvah. What is the fulfillment of this mitzvah? We said before, livol b'chol ona va'ona. But livol b'chol ona va'ona only makes sense if that owner is the potential of having a child. But if your wife is a ketana, she cannot have a child. So by marrying her, as opposed to a woman 2 or 3 years older than her, or 10 years older than her, which if you ask me is better, But anyway, not giving shidduchim advice. So then you have forfeited the opportunity, and you are in violation. You're not permitted to marry her. The Rama says lo yisal adam, he's not permitted to marry her. Simple level. So to marry a woman who's 22, but she's taking pills for 2 years, it's like she's 10. True, the Rambam says a person may postpone marriage in order to learn Torah. Famous Rambam. And some want to equate other needs, his needs, her needs. Maybe they're comparable to learning Torah. Maybe. You know what the Gemara says. What do you have to do? You have to first build a house, plant a vineyard, and then marry based on the Gemara Sotah Mem Dalet. So the Maharsha writes as follows in Sotah Mem Dalet. Mi sheyesh lo yasek keseder hazeh isha bachron. It sounds like your mother, right? Or maybe your father. What are you getting married for? You have no parnasa. Quotes the Mefurash Gemara. So the Torah Tmima on that pasuk, Dvarim Chof, pasuk Zayin, writes as follows. I'll read you the Torah Tmima's words because it's very important. Very important. Mevuah midvarav. Derak mi sheyesh lo lahotzi al hakol yinok keseder hazeh. Aval mi sheein lo rak al achas meela. Evshar liv sheyivra mashenochas lo yoseh. Uveemes kenas svara no senes. Dilav hachi mishu oni lo yisa isha liolam. They never get married. Can't afford a house. Can't afford a vineyard. They never get married. That can't be. Matina b'ksuba samachzayim in beis yosam shabal yisa isha sochen lo mimos staka. Bites. You rent them house. You don't buy them house. You buy him a bed and a table and chairs and you get married. Rock elanosim lo. Also lo kinyan bayis lo matakerim lo parnasa. This is coming from the Torah Tmima. He was considered like sort of a modernist, right? He's criticized for his modern views on things. That's what he says. Otherwise no one's ever going to get married. The Ezer Mikodesh in Siman Ayin Vav says, "Otu oni she'ein lo b'melafarnes yeladim, yepata mimitzas ei depru revu bitmiya." He'll say, "I can't afford to get married." In my opinion, okay, so don't get married. But once you're married, Yechayev livel b'chalona, as the Rambam said. He never said in the Rambam, you can get married and have a moichel the owner, or, you know, or have birth control. The Rambam never said that. You can postpone marriage. Because if you're not married, okay, so you're not married, so there's no active, if you will, bittel of pruruvu. But once you're married, it's an active bittel. What happens, chas v'sholom, if it turns out there's certain genetic complications? The children could be terribly affected. So Rav Moshe writes, might still be meshuba to give birth. It's complicated. Evan has a chela gimel simon yud beis. Shlomo Zalman writes, min chashlomo chela gimel, if the husband is fearful that the tsar that he'll have, he and his children, are worth more to him than chomesh nechosov, is pot. Now required to spend more than one-fifth of your money, there's more than a fifth of your money, the pain you're going to suffer. I have a Torah Chinur of Shlomo Zalman. You're not mechuyah to spend more than one-fifth of your money on your children? Let me tell you from experience. You're not left with one fifth for yourself. All the money goes out in the children. Baruch Hashem. It's the biggest bracha in the world. I don't know, just some is a tzarachi. Anyway, in my opinion, not only your potter, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome to bring such children into the world. For half to recha kamocha. You're mitzar adam is not because of your tzar, because of the tzar of the children. You're put in such terrible, terrible situation, especially if they can die early. It's terrible.
How is this different
than Kedek Dushi Darachmana? Not Kafshi Darachmana. You speak to a genetic counselor, they'll tell you what the scoop is.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, with certain percentages. Anyway, Rabosai, it's a big problem. If you have, that's why I'm a big fan of genetic testing before marriage. Dor Yesharim is okay, but now they test for more on the open testing. And I'm very much opposed to couples marrying, even though they both have the same gene, recessive gene. I think it's bad. What do you mean, Rabbi? IVF, PGD, you know the Rosh Tavis? That's b'diavad. If you're already married, you discover something. But to get married, to go in that, so you have to be on birth control your whole life. And you have to do these questionable procedures, which are, I mean, we allow them, but not l'chatchila. And it's also expensive and emotionally very difficult. People just think you just do it. You do it in a b'diavad situation. And let me get to my main last point. Some of my rabbinic colleagues, whom I respect, have a psak which I don't agree with. They say, we live in a difficult world. There are many divorces. And when a couple gets married, who knows if the marriage is going to last? And if they have a child right away, and the marriage does not last, it's a curse. And I agree with all these facts. I agree with all of these facts. If they have a child right away, and the marriage doesn't last, the child is a curse, but they fight over the child, and everything gets protracted and delayed for years and years of constant fighting and bickering. They can't move on with life. All this wouldn't have happened if they had no child. Some of the most celebrated cases that we're discussing now, whether this discussed in the Post or discussed in our nation's capital or a Stam case that we're dealing with. It's because they're fighting about with the child. They should be here, should be there. They're crazy. It's a curse, Rahman al-Islam. In my humble opinion, notwithstanding this terrible fact, I don't think there's any heter to permit contraception for all of Klal Yisrael because of this small number of cases. Even today it's a small number, and in our circles it's still a mere chen amotzi. You have to heard from experts in the field. Yes, if the Rav has a suspicion that this marriage and have problems, I think it's within his discretion to say, in this particular case, want to practice birth control for a year after the marriage, I think it's okay. I'm not exactly have to tell him why. They really shouldn't be getting married in the first place. They're not listening. They didn't come to you with that child. Otherwise, in general, I think it's a very bad mistake. I have to tell you that, aside from my esteemed rabbinic colleagues who understand the importance of having children right away, but just they've just been burned by too many cases of divorce, and it is very painful when they're fighting over a kid. The others have a totally different attitude, which I'm not macabre at all, which says, it's none of the rabbi's business. The rabbi should stay out of these kind of questions. They're personal questions left to the boy and the girl, and this rabbi has written, the first two rabbis is not Torah Shebichsav. This is Torah Shebichsav. You know, there's no real need to fulfill the mitzvah right away. And Rav Shechter Shlita wrote a piece about this, and he quibbles with Rav Shechter Shlita's piece. That's not so muchrech. She admits lo mashina and a chazanish and a back and a forth. The fiani is daiti. There's no way out of the Rambam that we spoke about. Chayev livel b'chol ona v'ona till you have a child. It doesn't mean that the wife's on pills. And that's not. That's like a katana. You're not allowed to marry. You think it's a chiddush? The Rambam said it. Shulchan Aruch said it. We consider it to be normative halacha. I know in the world today, in other contexts completely, which I'm not going to talk about at all. So the Rambam said you can't do it, but I don't agree with the Rambam. I'm not discussing any context. I'm just saying, I wasn't brought up that way. If it's for the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, if you don't find anyone who disagrees, it's a halacha. So do people disagree? The Rambam is in the Shulchan Aruch halacha pesuka, as far as I can tell. Anyway, so this article in the footnote says something or other which I don't understand. That even though the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch say it, but that's to fulfill the mitzvah peruvu, its owner. But there's nothing wrong with their practicing birth control for as many years as they want after having children, after getting married, until they decide to have children. To me, I still haven't figured out what it says. In previous years, I gave this share, I actually read the footnote, and no one could tell me pshat, so I didn't want to bother reading anymore. You already heard it last year. So no one could tell me pshat in that footnote, so I don't want to say, don't know. Yes, sir. Right.
So I assume that most couples in the stomach coming, or possibly coming, if not from both, but maybe from the wife, then Manessa and you can postpone.
That's only after, what I said before is only after they had a child. Oh, for sure. I'm a big liberal. I'll go with the Netziv, one child. But have that one child.
Then,
yes. Then I'm very liberal. But not till the first child. That's another topic, not for now. I'm very much opposed to it for two reasons. One, once she has the pills in her pocket, it's hard giving them up. Two, they don't always work. I've had many, many shots of women, you fill in the blank, from the yichud room, a day or two before the wedding, from the hotel at 4 a.m., you name it, I've gotten the shots. The pills gave in, they gave out, and I just saw red. If she has to regulate herself, it's not coming out right. Look on YU Torah. There's an article which I'm a co-author with a couple of doctors about a pill called Agestin, which is a different kind of a system. It's not a contraceptive. If things are not working out right, she goes on it a few weeks before the wedding and puts everything on hold. That I endorse completely. Aygestin. Okay.
Why isn't there more of an option of this other method? I've never heard of any other method. Why
do
people still allow the other one?
What other one?
It's the regular contraceptive.
You're allowed. But there are two reasons I'm against it. One, she has the pill, she's going to keep using it after the marriage. I think it's not allowed. And two, it doesn't work sometimes. I've had women cry, if I would have done nothing, I would have been clean. Because I took this pill and I've been on the chuppah's needle. Chuppah's is a disaster. It's not good. Not a good situation to be in. You have to live with it, but it's not good. In any event, Rabosai, so there are couples that I know that, I remember once a Talmid came to me many, many years ago about birth control. I said, he starts telling me the problem. I said, my dear friend, you're going to need fertility treatments. So years later he came to me and said, Rebbe, how do you know? You need to have a child, you need a fertility. There are couples that are married and they would give anything to have a child. Anything. They can't, it's not working out. And sometimes there are couples that didn't try to have children right away. There were careers, money, whatever. I'm sure there's some legitimate something or other. And at the end, they come to me afterwards and say, we can't have children. And the doctor said, because we've developed antibodies, or my wife got that many years older. The wife's age is the single greatest determinant in fertility. There are many of them. That's the single greatest one. So you're going to wait 2 years. The wife gets 2 years older, no matter what. She's going from 20 to 22 or 30 to 32. It makes no difference. You're waiting 2 extra years. It's not smart. It smacks of arrogance, frankly. We'll have children when we want, so we'll wait a couple of years. Who said a Kadosh Baruch Hu would bless you with children in the first place? We all know there's a high percentage of infertility. We know that. Everyone knows that. That's another reason, what I said before, having the one child, not just for the halakhic reasons of the Netziv, Thank God I have a child. Systems are working. Baruch Hashem. I know people who had a child right away and then the systems started to not work. And they blessed me for telling them that they have to have a child right away because otherwise they would have nothing. And then the systems were not working. I want to end with one story. A couple came to me, this goes back over 30 years ago. The fellow I hardly knew. I knew him from Camp Marasha, from the basketball court. He wasn't even an argument. He was very respectable and respectful player, yes, I still remember that. And he was getting married, and he decided to come with his college and ask me a question. I said, okay, you want to come? Anytime. They come to my, it was the Motzei Shabbos, they come into my little study, I remember. They want to talk about birth control. I said, you know, you're coming to the wrong address. I wish you a mazel tov, you can leave right now, I want to be insulted. Come to the wrong place. No. I tried to push them out of the door. They wouldn't leave. Okay, so what's the problem? Well, he's in medical school, and she's very lonely. She's going to be all by herself. He's going to be on call at night. He won't be home, and she just can't bear the emotional stress of becoming pregnant right away. I said, you can still leave right now. No. I said, in my opinion, you have to try to have children right away. Akash Baruch should give you a bracha, and you should go away. And I see she's tearing up. Okay. Fast forward 10 years. I meet this couple at a yeshiva dinner. Oh, Shalom. Can we talk to you in the corner? Yeah. Do you remember us? I said, yes. Do you remember we came to you before we got married? I said, yes. Do you know what we came about? I said, yes. He reaches into his wallet, pulls out a picture of five delicious children, and tells me as follows. We walked out of your house into the car, and my wife, then my colleague, burst out into uncontrollable sobs. She was so emotionally fragile, just couldn't imagine conceiving a child when the husband's going to be on call at night in the medical school, whatever. He wanted to thank you. Because of you, because we listened to you, they told me, we have these five delicious children. Had we not listened to you, we don't know what would have happened. In hindsight, in perspective, we realize what a bracha it is. They had more children. I met this lady another 10 years later. She said to me, just yesterday, I had the bris of my first grandson. A very young woman. It only happened because they started right away. And they told me the final line, which I'm telling to you. Tell our story to everybody. When they're married at 22, they don't have a perspective. We didn't have it. We thought you're sending us down to the doomsday scenario. You sent us down to the path of indescribable bracha. Ru Ravu Rabosai is said twice in the Torah. For a mitzvah and for a bracha, as Rashi says. Let us be mispalo that each and every one of us will try our best to fulfill the mitzvah and will be worthy of the bracha of Ahevcha, of Erachcha, of Erbecha, of Erach Privitcha, Lo Yia Okar of Akora, Amen V'yom.